This morning we shall continue to look at the parable of the prodigal son. Look at verse 20. So the prodigal son got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He went, fell on his neck, and kissed him. The son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and be happy. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be happy. Now I'm sure that to most of you, this parable of our Lord Jesus is very familiar to you. And there are three characters here. There are no minor characters. All of them are major characters. Every one of them is important. Now, of course, usually we know the prodigal more than the other two figures. But let me tell you, in a sense, the elder brother is the most important character here. And we shall, God be willing, look at the elder brother next Lord's Day morning. It is really a parable story for the elder brother. And my dear friends, let me say this. Elder brothers like us. We are the elder brothers. This parable is told to good religious church people like us. But this morning we shall focus on the father. You might have noticed if you read your newsletter at all, I know some people don't read it at all, some people do, some people keep it, some people draw pictures on it, hopefully it's not a picture of mine. The sermon title this morning is The Prodigal Father. You may say, well, Pastor, that is a misprint. No. It's really the prodigal father. I look up a dictionary from the little Latin I know, which is next to zero. I come to know that prodigal means wasteful. Wasteful. Now, the prodigal son certainly was a wasteful son. He wasted his father's livelihood. But the father is also a wasteful father in the eyes of the elder brother. Father, you wasted your money on this son. Father, you wasted your kindness on this son. Father, you're so wasteful. And my dear friends, the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ in the eyes of so many people is wasteful. It's a wasteful grace and mercy. But if you and I have received that grace and mercy, we say thank you to God for that prodigal love, for that abundant grace. Grace even given to me in Christ. That the Lord God should give His only begotten Son for me, even for me. Now, if you turn to the inside page, you'll notice we're going to look at three things this morning. First of all, the Father's compassion. Last Sunday morning, we considered the prodigal son, how he asked the father to give him his share of the inheritance, and he left home in no time. He went to a distant country. And there, he wasted the father's life saving. And then there was a great famine, and he came to be in need. At first, he worked for his own living, until one day, he came to himself. The sinner came to himself. The sinner, the first time in his life, came to know that he has sinned against heaven and against his own father. The prodigal son became an awakened sinner. He was awakened to the reality of his misery. He was awakened to the fact that his father got abundance of grace and love. And he decided to go home, and he got up and made that long and difficult journey going home. My dear friends, it was a long journey because he has gone a long way. You know, friends, if we have gone astray from the Lord, the farther we go, when we want to come back, it seems to be such a long, long journey. It is far better, my dear young people and children, that you should keep faith with Christ and never follow the world. Instead of going to a far country, far away from the Lord, and the Lord chasten you and discipline you and bring you back, when you got sores and wounds and bruises all over you. But the prodigal son did make that long journey. It was not only a long journey, but a difficult journey. Remember, he was reduced to become a beggar. He was hungry. He couldn't afford lodging or food, so he was a beggar begging all the way home. And in that long and difficult journey, no doubt he will be thinking to himself questions like this: will my father accept me back? What would he say when he should see me in such a state of misery? Yes, I got this plan. I'm going to work my way back to his favor. I'm going to work hard and pay him back some of the things I owe him. But will my father receive me back? The more that he knew about his father, he continued on that journey. My dear friends, if he thought his father was a stern man, harvesting where he has not reaped, that his father was an unkind man, he would stop halfway and gave up the journey. But from all that he knew, his father was a gracious man, a merciful man. Oh, surely my father would receive me back. So on he went and went and went. My dear friends, no matter how far we've gone away from the Lord, no matter what far country you've gone to from the Lord, remember this: the Lord God is ever kind and merciful. He will receive a sinner back. He will receive a returning sinner to himself. in California, in John MacArthur's church, among the gay community there, it is known that if you have gone to the dead man, you can go to Grace Church, and there is hope. And not a few such people have found Christ at the preaching of the gospel. And John MacArthur himself said, that is only the work of the Lord, because if you have heard John MacArthur, he preached for about an hour. Just word after word, verse after verse. And to some of these people, when they first went to his church, they got literally nothing. They said, this guy just go on and on, what is he on about? Well, but some of them found Christ. And we are told here, when the son was still a long way off home, his father saw him and had compassion on him. Was it an accident that the father should see him a long way off? I don't think so. The father must be standing on the housetop every day, every morning, every evening, looking over the road that the son had left home. Maybe on a hilltop, he looked over. Oh, if my son should come home today, he must come through this way, for there's only one way to my farm, to my home. He was looking for the return of the son every day. He was yearning for the return of the son every day. So my dear friends, the Lord God today, this morning, is yearning for you to turn to him, to turn from sin and self, and to turn back to our Father who is in heaven. The Father had compassion on him, because the Father loved him. The Father loved him. The Father's love for him was always constant. When his son was at home, he was unhappy and discontented. He wanted to leave home. Maybe ever since he was 14 or 15, he wanted to leave home. But the Father loved him. And then he asked that utterly terrible question. Give me my money. The father loved him. And then he packed up and go. The father loved him. And then he went to a far country. The father never heard anything from him. If there was email or mobile phone in those days, the son would not call father. If the father should call his mobile, there would be no answer. With parents smile. I got a friend who told me this story some years ago, and he said, parents, and I was talking about Chinese parents, I don't know about other parents, I think they do the same. The children ask for a car. Mom, Dad, I must have a car off for my own, because when I go out late, you don't want me to be in danger. All right, I'll give you a car. It has to be a BMW. All right, BMW. And of course, I need to have the latest mobile phone, because you want to wake me up when I'm late. That was a mobile phone. But when the parents called, never ever was an answer. Well, nothing new under the sun. When the son did not contact father, the father still loved him. He was grieving for his son. day by day. Oh, what would happen to my dear son? Has he got enough to eat? Knowing my son being my son, maybe he has wasted his money by now. But the father loved the prodigal son. So, my dear friends, the Lord God loves every one of us. He does. And that's the point that Jesus is making here. You elder brothers, you Pharisees and scribes, you theologians and churchmen, you bishops and clergy, you reverends and most reverend, you don't understand what God is like. I receive tax collectors and sinners. You look at these traitors to the Jewish nations. They are feeding dogs and they're eating dogs' food. You think God has no love for them? You are greatly mistaken. Such is our Father. And such is His Son. Remember last Sunday morning I told you this is a story about three sons. The elder son, the younger son, and the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is exactly like His Father. This is the point Jesus is making. There was a missionary from America. Years ago, he worked in the red light district in Seoul, Korea. He got beaten up many, many times. He dearly loved those girls. Not their sins. He was willing to sacrifice anything for those girls. Why? Because God loves those girls. The Father's love for the Son was constant. And the reason is not to be found in the Son. The Son was not lovable. He was not lovable at home. Always answering back perhaps. Always unhappy and discontent. This Son has totally disgraced the family name. You know what Middle Eastern people would do? Even now? If a daughter, a son has disgraced the family, what should happen? Let the child be killed. Now we may despise Middle Eastern people. We may think they don't love their daughters and or sons. I'm sure that they do love them. But the name of a family is so important that if you should ever disgrace the family's name, you better be dead. But the Father loved the Son, not because the Son was lovable, but because the Father was a man of love. The reason for His love is to be found in Himself. And the reason for God's love is to be found in Himself. Nowhere else, nothing else. And the one thing that the devil would like us not to believe is the love of God. You may think that is the easiest thing for us to believe, for anyone to believe, but my dear friends, let me assure you, the most difficult teaching of the Bible for anyone to believe is the benevolence and the kindness and the love of God in Jesus Christ. People won't believe it. Because people won't believe Him. And we are told here, the Father saw the Son and had compassion on Him. compassion. The father was moved. The father could recognize the son from such a long distance. Why? Because he was his son. Parents could recognize their children. Even the children had grown fat or thin. And the father had compassion on him. Now, my dear friends, this word compassion literally means in the Greek, your guts, your intestines. The father was moved in his intestines, in his gut for the son. And did you know this is the same word that is used of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth? The gospel said again and again, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them, as sheep without shepherd. When the Lord Jesus saw the people getting hungry, he had compassion on them. Jesus is exactly like his father. The father had compassion, so does the son. The son was moved to his guts, so we may say reverently, the father, God our father, was moved in the most innermost being for sinners. My dear friends, let us never entertain this thought that God is without emotion. God is not just a chapter in a book on theology. God is not a mere theory or concept. God is a personal being. But then also learn a little Latin again. Well, it's not difficult. You look up any dictionary, there is reference to the Latin source. What does compassion mean? Now, I know a few young people here, they have learned Latin, so they can correct me. I think it means come, come, with. Is it not so? With? With? Together with? Passion? Suffering. Suffering with. That's compassion. You see someone in misery, and you too feel you are in misery. The father saw the son in such misery, and the father feel miserable for the son. Compassion. That's what happened to Jesus our Lord. He suffered with us. He suffered with us. He suffered our suffering. He suffered for our sins. All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid our iniquity, all our iniquity, on the Lord Jesus. His compassion. Now secondly, love's actions. So the father saw the son a long way off. This is my son. He had compassion for him. Look at him, he's in such a miserable state. What did he do? He went to the son. You may think, well, that is nothing. But in those days, any middle-aged man with any sense of dignity, any position in society, would never went. If in those days you saw a man in my age or Gage's age running, you say they have lost their dignity. They're respectable citizens. They should not run. They should walk upright, slowly, I got a school headmaster, which I had all through my school years. He walked like a penguin. Never smiled. Always black suit. You always bow and bow to him. And there was an air of mystery around the man, but he walked very slowly, literally like a penguin. But the father did not mind his dignity. He went, girt up his girdle, exposing his legs. That was considered to be indecent. You shouldn't expose any part of your legs. He went, doesn't mind. People should despise him. Doesn't mind. The servants should say, what happened to master? And the fellow citizens say, look at that man. What happened to him? Has he gone mad? He went to his son. So the Son of God came to seek and to save the lost. And then literally, he fell on the son's neck. I think Anna would go embrace him or something like that, but literally fell on his neck and kissed him fervently. Kissing fervently. The son was filthy and dirty. Can you imagine how smelly he must be? He was a beggar for some months, if not for years. He was feeding pigs. He must smell like pig. My dear friends, if you invite a Jewish friend for dinner, don't you serve roast pork or barbecue pork? I got a friend who got a Jewish neighbor, and he invited his friend to his home for a cup of drink. And the Jewish man felt very uneasy, and he said, well, John, do you have a plastic cup, a disposable cup? Well, why? I'm serving you with this very nice cup of mine. Well, I'm sorry, I'm afraid that it might not be kosher. The son was anything except kosher. He smelled like pig. He got germs all over his body. What did the father say to him? Son, glad to see you back. Have a wash first, and then come to see me. No, the father fell on his neck and kissed him. I doubt all parents here would do the same. After your son has gone to a camp for 3 days, no bath, no shower, and there was a storm or mud over his body, would you hug and embrace your son and kiss him? His father did. He fell on his neck and kissed him fervently. The son was going to say his bits of working back to gain his father's favor. But the father kissed him. And what else did the father do? He told the servant, bring the best robe out and put the family ring on his hand, sandal on his feet. So my dear friends, the Lord God not only has compassion for sinners. His compassion and his love led him to send his only begotten son into this world, and even to be the propitiation for our sins. Now you have heard this often, but does it move you? Does it move you that a father should send his only begotten son to die for our impurities, for our lusts, for our covetousness, for our swearing, for our worldliness, for our gossip, for our slander, for our bitterness, for our hatred, for our breaking of the Holy Sabbath. Does it move you? It moved the Father to send His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love's actions. Now lastly, the prodigal's reception. We have already mentioned, the Father said, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. He is to be treated with honor and dignity. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The son was thinking, I'm going to work my way back to the faith of my father. That is religion. Oh, I must work hard. I must become more holy. I must pray more. I must read the Bible more so that I can gain my acceptance with God. That is religion. That is law. That is legalism. The son would think the father would say this to him. Son, you stay in our house for a month. Wash yourself, stay in our house, work in the farm for 3 months, and then come closer for 6 months, and then after this probation, well, you can become my child again. Now, my dear friends, when you go to work, you're on probation, isn't it? Suppose you're after school, or you're looking for a job, and then you find a good job. But then you notice it's 6 months probation. Or a year's probation. Now, people even come together for a probation of sort of marriage. Well, we come together and live for a while, see whether you fit me or not. But if you fail my standard, well, goodbye and no more. Probational marriage, so to say. They don't call it marriage, but it is literally, it is a marriage, but it's a marriage on probation. Work on probation. The father did not put the son on probation. He was received back fully, totally, and joyfully. The father called the servants, get the fatted calf. And that became the bone of contention between the elder brother and the rest of the family. The fatted calf. Next Sunday morning we shall look at this. Why the elder brother should be so obsessed with the fatted calf. Well, you can think of why. But bring the fatted calf. We are going to have a party, a celebration, dancing, music. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. 4 times here, the word be merry, and then 1 time be glad. Other translation, celebrate, glad. 5 times, happy. The father was so happy. He didn't mind the son came back in tatters. He didn't mind the son had totally disgraced his name. The father only rejoices at the return of the son. So this is what God our Father is like. He hates our sins. He does. But He loves every returning sin. My dear friends, this morning, have you returned home? Are you still far away in a far country? Or you're making the journey home, doubting whether the Father will receive you? And if you have returned home, are you rejoicing with the Father? My friends, the Lord Jesus says here, when on earth there's one sinner who repents, there's joy in heaven. Can you imagine that? Today, over the world, there shall be many, many sinners who are returning to the Father. So heaven must be very joyful. Heaven is a happy place because in heaven, every day, every moment, there is a party, rejoicing, singing to the praise of God for the returning of sinners. And God wants His servants to rejoice with Him. You angels, you my servants, rejoice with me. Let us rejoice with the Lord our God. Let us labor and pray for the repentance of sinners. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, You are good and You do good. You are the God of compassion and mercy. We are so slow to believe in Your love. We are so slow to believe in Your benevolence and Your kindness and Your forgiveness. We are so slow to forgive others who have sinned against us. We are so lukewarm in receiving returning sinners. We know so little of that joy in heaven. We pray that You may so grace us and bless us, that we may know the joy in heaven, that we may know the joy of the Father. For Christ's sake, Amen.